in response, someone pointed out that there was an excellent article in the Mishpacha this week. Those of you who haven't seen it, there's a very impressive Rav in Eretz Yisrael that's involved in increasing the popularity of Ribbis, which is very Lamaisa, as is the other topics that we've discussed. I don't know what to say. If anyone has a topic that they would like to request that won't get us into too much trouble, please let me know for next week. Ribbis is a topic that is not so widely known, and is often assumed that it's not applicable, and it's much more applicable than we think. The biblical violation of ribbis is very specific, and it's in a specific situation, and it pertains to a loan. So people also often assume that as long as they're not involved in a halva, they're not going a loan. Which, let's just make sure to clarify what all this involves, which is the giving money, delivering money to another person, that they have the ability to pay back a different set of money. They have the ability to invest that money. That money is now theirs. The Gemara has a terminology, milva is lehotza'a nitna. When I lend a person money, what I am assuming is that they should use that money. They should invest that money. They should make a return on that money. That's how they should build their parnasa, and that's why I'm giving that halva, latzan, and I don't expect those same monies back. That's different than a she'ela. That's different than lending an item that I get the exact same item back. Okay? So when you're involved in a halva, and a person stipulates and says, I'm only giving you this halva if you give me back interest on the loan for the time that the money is by you, which is what's called in halacha ktsitsa, your koitzets, that I'm giving you, I want the $100 back, let's say, but I want $10 in interest for the fact that you've had this money for that amount of time. That is a violation mida oraisa of ribbis. Okay, that could apply to even a small amount of money. It doesn't matter. It's not specific to a large amount of money, but it's limited to situations where you're stipulating. That's key. You're stipulating that you are going to gain benefit and interest and more money because the money is staying by the other individual. Okay, so in order to violate the Issa de Araisa, which is rare, it's required to be kotzeitz and to stipulate that. Okay, this is very common in situations of mortgages. Okay, so those of you that have taken mortgages, it's probably less relevant, but unfortunately in recent times I've been dealing with individuals who unfortunately took loans from Jewish owned banks, and by definition the mortgage charges interest. And that's a serious problem. That is an ongoing isser, that the isser applies to between two Jews, and that's something that has to be resolved. But for sure, if you know people that are looking to get a mortgage, they have to make sure, if it's a Jewish company, so that a heter iska, which we're not going to have time to go into tonight, there's a certain framework that you can set up the acquisition and you can set up the contract and the deal in a way that it's not a classic loan, because by definition, in order to violate this isser, it has to be, at least on a level of daraisa, it has to be a loan. So if we can set it up more as a business venture and more of an investment, that it's not a loan, which is ultimately what the heter iska does. So it's very important just to learn that terminology from the get-go. My point tonight is not to go through all the details of ribbis. Ribbis is very complicated. Ribbis is a sugya that has many intricacies, but The point is to raise awareness to these issues, which is really the point of all of these shiurim. Not necessarily to get to the bottom line psak, but that you should ask. You should ask a shaila when you. But it's more important, in my opinion, always. I'm more impressed with the shailas than the answers. For a person to realize that this is a red flag, that this is a red light, that this is something to be aware of, that it's a possibility. So then you're always encouraged to ask in these situations. So if you're dealing with one of these situations, like a mortgage or a business venture that's going to take out a major loan, and you're dealing with two Jews and there's going to be lending involved, so and there's stipulation, so that would be ribis, de'oraisa, okay? But the problem is that many people, when they're outside of the parsha of a loan, when they're outside of the parameters of a classic lender-borrower situation, they think that there's not going to be any ribis issues. And that's really not necessarily the case. And really what's critical and what I want to do tonight is just to talk about some of the things that are referenced in the article to really just gain sensitivity that in order to understand ribis or to approach ribis and how ribis applies, you have to somehow perceive things in a different light. What I want to explain, what I'm trying to get to is the following. Let's say I ask a person, I don't ask them to lend me anything. I ask the person to go to the store and to buy me a dozen eggs. Do me a favor, buy it for me. And they buy it for me. And now they come, 2 days later, they finally, right, they're driving back wherever, they're passing by my house, they're dropping it off, right? I'm sure all over the wives of Fairlawn, what's it called? The Fairlawn wives, what's it called?
Housewives.
Housewives of Fairlawn. So someone's going to the store, someone's going to food showcase. Can you pick this up for me? Can you buy it for me? Good. What's the problem? There's no loan. There's no issue. Okay, so now they bought it for you. Great. So now they come to me, and it costed $16, okay? It costed $16, okay? That's a bad. That's off, right? What is a dozen? No, that's not. That's not. Let's say you bought 3 dozen eggs. Okay, $16, 3 dozen eggs. Make sense? Erich,
No.
What is
it going? Like $1 and change.
$1 and change. Okay, fine. So let's get something. Give me a 16 and 20. What can you get for 16 and 20?
A package of chicken.
A package of chicken. Good. Excellent. So a package of chicken. And now they come back and I say, oh, I want to pay you back. Okay. Here are $20. Okay. I don't have change on me. You know what? You did me a taiva. I really appreciate it. Keep the change. What just happened over there? So you didn't technically give a loan. But through buying it on my behalf, you basically indirectly loaned me money, right? And now I'm paying you back for the fact that you bought it for me, right? We're not setting this up as you purchased it for yourself and I'm purchasing it from you. You bought it on my behalf. You spotted the money for me. And now I'm paying you back for that. And now when I say keep the change, what am I saying? In essence, what I'm saying is, oh, thank you so much for doing that for me. Here's your interest. Whoa, you see how you just took a common situation. It's not going to be ribis d'oraisa. Why is it not going to be ribis d'oraisa? Because there wasn't a classic loan, because there wasn't any stipulation. And it's also coming after the loan, which is always ribis midrabanan, right? By definition, if we have a real loan, if we didn't stipulate any ribis, but then I just give you a gift afterwards, that's midrabanan, that's called ribis mu'ucheres. Okay? It's not mutter. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to give any benefit to the lender that he wouldn't have given him beforehand. Okay? I don't want to shock you right now, but there are poskim that discuss whether or not you're allowed to say thank you. Because that's what's called ribis dvarim. Okay? Many poskim think thank you is just normal. It's a normal, you know, politeness. It's not actually gifting anything to the lender. I just want to introduce that to you in order to understand the sensitivity. Rosh Hashanah Zalman talks about the language of tiskul mitzvahs. You're giving a bracha. Okay? Someone asked the shaila of, can I go? I didn't have a relationship with this person before the loan. They loaned me a lot of money. Can I go to a shiva call that I wouldn't have gone otherwise? Not necessarily. If that's true, and you wouldn't have done that otherwise, that might be an example of ribis mukhar. It's not d'oraisa. It wasn't stipulated. It's not like the case of the mortgage, which is going to be biblical, but it might be an issur d'rabbanan. But now, what we're discussing right now is that we didn't even have a loan. We had a setup that what? I bought something for you, and now you're paying me back. I spotted you the money, which now we're viewing midrabanan as a loan. And now I'm telling you, keep the change, which to me, before I learned ribbis, I was just like, wow, what a tzaddik. Thank you so much. That's so nice. So could we ever say, keep the change? Can we do that? Is that a problem? So the answer is the following. There is a tshuva of Dayan Weiss, the Minchas Yitzchak, and he says the following. He says, if the amount is insignificant to the extent that you wouldn't necessarily pick that up on the floor, then keep the change is okay. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a little bit problematic for me, because if there's a dollar on the floor, I'm picking that up. You know, honestly, if there's a quarter on the floor, I'm picking that up. So it's a problem. It's a problem, and it's a reason to raise awareness. You know, that it's not so simple to just say, and it's going to be awkward because, like, why are you being such a stickler for every quarter, for every dollar? You know, like, it's a dollar. The answer is because there's a potential ribbis issue. Because once we reformulate this, and we look at this as you spotting me the money, and that's actually a loan, even though you never gave me money, I never invested it, so it's not the classic model of a loan. Midrabanan, they extrapolated, and they said, we view that as a loan. Okay, that's just one example that's very, very, very common. Okay? Everyone clear so far? Let's talk about another example. Another example that's very common. A store that has a service. A service that offers, whether it's a camp, whether it's a school, if you pay us in advance, so we're going to charge you this. But if you pay us the later date, the due date, we're what? We're going to charge you the higher amount, the real price. Okay? The higher amount. So in essence, that could be a problem. I'm not going through all the details. The service should ask a shaila. For the following reason. If I tell you, you give me money up front, and then I'll decrease the price. So there's another way to view that. So basically, I'm giving you the money. You now have the opportunity to use the money right now. The due date is not till later. And what? And now you're going to give me something in return. What are you giving me something in return? A reduced price. So now that's not so clear that that's mutter, because that might be ribbis. Because now you're giving me the opportunity to use your money, and now when I'm paying you back, so I'm now giving you something additional that other people are not getting. By the way, that's why it's also a problem for people that are running stores. Again, There are a lot of details that need to be discussed and analyzed, but just to raise awareness, to even have two prices. A two-price system, the Gemara calls it a tarsha, which could potentially be a serious issue. You're giving a higher price and a lower price if you give me cash, or a higher price if you give me credit, so then that's a problem. Unless it maybe if it's just for the credit charges, then it could be, you know, just to pay for the credit card company and you're not actually taking anything extra. But if I'm actually giving you something off in order to get your money up front and I don't want to deal with the credit card later, I don't want to deal with the money that's going to give me into later, that's a problem even to advertise like that. And the organization has to ask a Shiloh. There are situations, there are parameters that it could be mutter. But these are all situations that mere service, just if it's presented in a certain way, or you charge in two different ways, that you can potentially violate the issue of ribis midrabon. But I want to talk about a totally separate issue that is much, much more common that pertains to each and every one of you. Chazal said that there is an issue midrabonon of ribis that's called sa'a b'sa'a, and this was referenced in the article in the Mishpach. And I'll tell you what it is. Chazal were very concerned that when it comes to products, when it comes to groceries, when it comes to trading items, the value fluctuates a lot. If I lend you a dozen eggs, right, and you give me back a dozen eggs, Chazal will say that's not the same as lending you $5. Or what do you say, Lauren? A dollar?
I'd say $2.
$2. That's not the same as lending you $2 and giving back $2. Why? Because other than inflation, which doesn't happen, you know, all the time, money is pretty constant. Money is pretty solid. But the price of eggs or the price of an item of a commodity could always change and could fluctuate. So that's why Chazal said, listen to this. This is going to be shocking. Came along Chazal and they said, you're trading what? Sabisa? There's no loan in here at all over here. There's no lending. There's no money over here. You're giving a saw. The Gemara was talking about wheat. When they used to, the woman used to deal with wheat. Think about an ingredient. You're not, you have a saw of wheat, a measurement, and you're going to give me back. I run out of, right? I'm sure you guys talk about this all the time. I'm running out of an ingredient. Who has some, some mayonnaise, okay? Who has some peanut butter, okay? Can anyone spot me some peanut butter? And I'll go to the store and I'll give you back some peanut butter. Says the Gemara, that's not constant. That's saw b'saw. Okay? Wait 1 second. Hold off till the end of the shear until I conclude, and I'm not going to answer that, okay? Just, I got to be aware of that these days, okay? Saw b'saw, okay? You have a thing of peanut butter. You have a thing of mayonnaise. That's comparable to the wheat that was that people borrowed from each other that you're going to pay back wheat. That's not like money, okay? Money, if you give back the principal amounts, then there's no interest. You're giving exactly what you took. But when it comes to an item, so now it was worth $2 and now it's worth $2.50. So by definition, Chazal were very concerned that because the price of eggs, the price of wheat, the price of all these things are constantly changing, so that's going to be a problem. And they assert, beginning of the Perek Ezu Neshech, the sixth Perek of Bava Metzia, they assert lending saw for a saw. Wow, that's wild. That's really problematic. So came along Chazal, and they said that there are a few exceptions to this rule. And these exceptions are very, very important. Number one, exception number one, which is going to be a reason why most of the time it's mutter. If it's an insignificant amount, not all of the Rishonim, it's actually a question if Sfardim subscribe to this, but the Ramah has a kula, the Pesik of the Ashkenazim. If it's such a minuscule amount, it's an insignificant amount, so then Chazal didn't gozer sabasaw in such a situation. Okay, that's helpful. That's helpful if you're running out of ingredients, if it's a little bit different, good. But then what happens if it's a little bit more significant? What happens if you have a saw b'saw, a commodity that's going to be a difference, that it could change in price significantly? So came along Chazal and they said, there's a heter called yeshlo. Did anyone read the did anyone remember the article in the Mishpacha? So in the article, he talked about the following issue, that if you're sending a child to Eretz Yisrael and you're going to lend him money, dollars, so you should realize that whether or not you send your son when he needs money, a dollar, you lend him money and he needs a dollar, could make a big difference if he has a dollar in his possession when he's borrowing it. That's what's called yeshlo. If I borrow, said Chazal, the saw of chitin, or the eggs, or the peanut butter, or whatever I'm borrowing, and I need a lot more of it, because I'm baking a lot of cakes, whatever I'm doing. But I have one item already that's in my possession, and you're not giving me totally brand new, totally fresh from a start. So then Chazal said, we're not concerned about Yeshlo, about Sabasa. As long as he has one item, he has something of that commodity already in his possession, then we could be Makel, and you can now trade Sabasa. Okay? So now why is that relevant to the dollars? So here's what's interesting. Come along the post, and they say, wait a second. Another currency in another country is not considered like classic money. That's not what's called in halacha tiva. That's constant. That's a commodity, right? You have to trade in for that, right? What's your rate for the dollar? Most stores in Eretz Yisrael, this actually changed over time. Most stores in Eretz Yisrael won't even accept the dollar, especially now, how much the dollar has dropped. So that's not considered cash. The shekel is cash. So if you're loaning shkolim for shkolim in Eretz Yisrael, great, that's the tiva, that's constant. But if you're loaning what? Dollars in Eretz Yisrael, so that's now going to be considered a commodity. So now you have to be concerned about such a setup, loaning in Eretz Yisrael. That's what they wrote in the article, that if the person has the dollar on him, so then it's not going to be considered sabasa. Again, this is with no interest. This is with no stipulation. This is with, we're going to give back the same exact amount. You loan me $300, I'm going to give you back $300. But if the area that I'm borrowing it is now considered what? It's considered payray, it's considered a commodity. It's not considered a constant currency like it would be in America. So then that would be considered sabasa. That has tremendous, tremendous ramifications. Let me give you another example of a situation of sabasa, which is much more contemporary. Okay? I want to book a flight to Los Angeles. Okay? But I'm out of points. So is it okay if I borrow your points? And when I accumulate points, I'll give you back points. The same exact amount of points. What is that? Is that dollars? No. That's sabasa. That's something that fluctuates. Now, it's important to realize a third exception to the rule when it comes to sabasa, just to chazer. We said, if it's very insignificant, the amount of change, the Ramah is meko, Ashkenazim are meko. If it's what? Yeshlo, the guy has some of it already, but he needs more, then that's also a situation, right? You need more wheat, you need more eggs, you have something, sabasa is mutter, okay? You're not totally out of the commodity, okay? Third item, third leniency, yotza hashar, okay? If there is a set market value that doesn't really fluctuate too much to this item, which is a lot of our products, then Chazal say that the issue of sabasa is not going to be problematic. Because it's Yatza Ashar, we know what it is. So basically we borrowed that amount, and then we're going to pay back that amount. So then you could pay back even a sabasa. If it's Yatza Ashar and there's a market value for it, and it's a known market value, so then you're pretty okay. And there were times that certain times there was a market value for certain items, and certain times during the year there wasn't a market value. Currently, most of the products, most of our groceries, there's a car market value. Like I could ask Lauren right now, what's this go for? And she has a car market value. So therefore, it's not going to be sabasa. But currency, that fluctuates all the time. Foreign currencies, that changes all the time. Points on a plane, that fluctuates like crazy. That changes from day to day. That's subsa. That's a serious problem. Okay? That's a way that we have to figure out. Do you have points? Is it yeshlo? So then maybe you can borrow points. But if it's not yeshlo and it's not yotza ashar, and the points could be very, very significant. I mean, we're talking about a flight. We could talk about like what? I don't know. Help me out over here. Hundreds of thousands of votes. You see what's on my mind. hundreds of thousands of points for certain destinations. That could be a serious issue of sub-asa. So these are some of the situations that we have to be concerned about. And fundamentally, it even applied to the market. Happens to be in our situations, whether it's going to be insignificant or it's going to be yeshlo, you have some of it, or it's going to be for the main reason that it's yotza ashar. So therefore, a lot of the grocery items, a lot of the situations that we run in a normal situation, they're going to have a current set market value that doesn't fluctuate a lot, that you're going to be able to be makel. But it's important to understand that Chazal saw, wait a second, this looks like ribis. You're borrowing something, you're giving back something much greater. So you're right. You're not borrowing money. You're giving back another item. It's not money, but that looks and smells like ribis. And looks and smells like ribis. Midrabanan is also like ribis. Just like we said, you know, it even could apply after the loan, ribis mucheris, you know, just giving a compliment or stating something or writing a card. These are all shilas that we should become more sensitive to. Okay, so those. Yeah.
Does it matter if, like, in terms of, like, the currency or the points that, like, when you do it, there it could also be, though, that you're going to lose. Like, it could be the opposite, that the value went down and now.
Right. So Chazal said that it's true. It's possible. But Chazal from the get-go said it's possible. They knew when they saw Basal, it was also that situation. Mm-hmm. It could go up and it could go down. And yet they said we cannot have a system that lends itself to looking something like to even the possibility of ribis. Some of the rabbanon, they asked.
Even if
you're right, it's not a guarantee.
Right. Going into it, I might lose out. And I might not even gain.
Right. It's a great point that it's a dissimilarity to classic ribis, not only in the fact that we're not stipulating and it's not a loan, but it's also not a guaranteed increase. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very questionable what's going to be the story. But the fact that that possibility existed, Chazal created this new iser within ribis derabanan, even with that possibility existing. It's a great point. Mm-hmm. So those are situations, and I'm sure there are more examples that you can come up with that really could.
I ask a question.
Sure.
What about like certain food products that have a general value, but like you could buy it majorly on sale certain places? Do you have to be careful with like lending those types of things out, replacing it? Like frozen broccoli, you could buy for $3 or $6, things like that.
Mm-hmm. You're saying that at the time when you bought it, you got it for $3. And now when you're giving it back, it could be a significant increase. So right. So the Ramaz Kula won't apply. But I think
brand versus like Heinz brand or something.
Right. So I think ShopRite brand versus Heinz brand, I think it would be definitely be included in the insignificant category of what the Ramaz said by Isa Basa. You know, the different qualities is not really so significant. And plus that you would have the heter there of that there is a price, like yotza hashar, there is a market price. I don't think yotza hashar having a market price is assuming that there's not going to be sales at certain point in time. I think that, but as long as there's a system that the price is known, you know, and there's certain seasons that happens, then I think a person could still be makel based on those kulos. Let's talk about another situation, okay? I found this fascinating when I was learning Ribbis, okay? You buy a sweater from a store, okay? You had the sweater, you wore it, something doesn't seem right. I don't think I'm going to keep it. 3 weeks later, you go back to the store and you say, I'm going to return it. Great. Good return policy. Give you back your money and all good. Well, how do we look at that? One second. You just gave them money. Your purpose was to do what? Was to purchase that sweater. So I wouldn't smell any ribbis over here. I'm purchasing a sweater. What could be the ribbis issue? Well, hold on. Ultimately, when we renege on the sale, so this, where do you go shopping? Give me a Muncie. This store in Muncie that's been holding my money and been allowed to invest this money and now has to pay me back because what? I'm giving them the sweater back. So ultimately, what happened? So that looks like a loan, right? They're giving me back the principal amount that I gave them for a certain amount of time. Good? Great. Where is their interest? Where's the ribbis? Well, you just had a sweater for 3 weeks. That's worth some money. Okay? Money doesn't only mean cash. Money doesn't only mean, you know, if I would rent a house for a temporary amount of time, that's worth money. If I rent a car, that's worth money. So, okay, there's not such a market for it. I'm sure you can even find the market. Rent a sweater. Is there anything online for that? No?
Yeah.
I think there is, yeah.
Yeah, rent a sweater?
Definitely for dresses.
Yeah, rent a dress. Rent a dress. So you had all these weeks that you had that sweater, that you had that dress. So that's ribbis. Okay, hey, it's not ribbis de oraisa. It's not a loan. It wasn't stipulated. It's not a classic case of ribbis. But again, once you train your eye and you see what this situation translates to be, what? That you had money by this person and they give you something for free in return. And now they're giving you back your principal like a loan. Oh, wow. That could be potentially ribbis. So what does the store do? How does the store have a return policy? So it's a very simple solution. It just has to be recognized, and you have to set this up in the bylaws of the store. Is one solution to this item to this issue, is that you just make the purchase a buyback setup. Instead of it being that we're now reneging on the entire sale, and it turns out that the money that was staying by you was really loaned to you, and now you're giving me back that money more similar to a classic loan. You know what we're doing? No, I own this sweater. And you own this sweater, and you can't give it back. Sorry, no returns. Our return policy is bad. But you know what you can do in our store? You can sell it back to us. Oh, for the same amount of money. If you just switch the transaction to be a sale with a buyback, you remove the whole issue of ribbis. What ribbis? That was a sale, and this is a sale. There was no loan over here. There was no misinas maos to invest like a halva, similar to halva. I made a purchase lo'olam void, and I made a purchase lo'olam void, and I decided to sell it back. Okay, that's fine. That's a great solution. Another solution to all of these issues is what I said beforehand, which is the suggestion by a mortgage, is to sign a heter iska, is to change the nature of a lot of these transactions, which is the most important term we don't have time to get into in terms of getting around ribbis issues, is that you most of the time will be able to get around these issues by setting up the transaction in a better way by doing a heter iska. So the company can do that also. All right. So that's another common situation of ribbis, you know, that could just reformats itself. And it turns out to be similar to a loan. But these are just some of the ideas that the article that you saw this week in the Mishpacha, whether it was the dollar in terms of foreign currencies, or whether it's just simply buying a shirt, or whether it's just presenting two prices, or whether it's just keep the change, all of these are our potential ribbons or just credit card buyer borrowing points. Let me ask you another situation. Okay, what if a person borrows a credit card? Person borrows my credit card. They don't have a credit card, they're borrowing my credit card. And you know what happened? The credit card's on my name, right? So the credit card company only knows me. They only know me, right? But the guy says, I'm going to pay all your bills. You just lend me your credit card. I'll pay all the bills. Okay? Sound good? No problem. What happens if he's late? What happens if he doesn't pay on time? So what's the halacha? What's the din? What does the credit card company do? You have to pay?
Interest.
Who are you paying interest for? To the credit card company? Credit card company doesn't even know you. Who's charged the interest now officially? Me. Now you're paying off my debt that I am obligated. You can't pay a Gentile, even if Ribbis is mutter for a Gentile. But if you're paying on behalf of another Jew, the interest that he accrues that's owed by him, Chazal and the Halacha looks at that as if you're paying interest to a Jew. That's a serious issue. That's you paying interest to the middleman. That's another thing that a people should become very sensitive to. Whenever you have two Jews involved, even if there's a third party, a guy involved, there could be potentially ribbis issues. This also applies a lot of times. I don't have too much time to get into it to really fully explain it. I'm sorry. I'm trying to compact as many cases as possible just to familiarize with the concepts. But a guarantor that you're paying the mortgage, but someone else is signing as I don't have a good credit rating, so they're on the document, they're on the mortgage, their name's on the mortgage. So basically, even though it's my house and even though I'm living here, but if my father took out the mortgage for me, right? So that ultimately could be ribbis on his name, or if he's backing up the mortgage, if he's just a guarantor on the mortgage and he's backing up another Jew. So Chazal also looked at that relationship as a loan from one Jew to the next with ribbis that now is really problematic. So even if you're getting a mortgage from a non-Jewish bank, but there is a Jewish guarantor, there could be very serious shailas that you have to ask in all these situations, because it could be reformatted and understood as now what? As a loan between two Jews that there's interest. Okay? So all of these situations could potentially be ribbis issues. Someone have a question?
Can I ask a quick question? Mm-hmm. What about like points or cash back that you would get? Like if I go to a store and I buy something for someone with my credit card. So they pay me, I spent $5 on something, they pay
excellent
me $5.
Question.
But
excellent
I got cash.
Question. Excellent question. Excellent question. So that's a great point. I think it's mutter. I'll tell you why. That is not coming at all from the Jew. That is a gift that's coming from the company in order to encourage you to use them. So there's no problem with a person borrowing my card and now another company giving me a gift. That's okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
All right. I have another question, but it's sure. Also just like a random case.
Sure. Does anyone? I just don't have a clock in front. I think my watch. Does anyone have a time?
8:40.
Just because I missed Marv last time. What's the 8:40 already? You sure? I have not 8:38. Anyone have 8:38?
8:39.
Yeah. Okay. I'm actually going to. I'm gonna call it. We'll pick up. Please text me your Shaila. I don't want to ignore it. I just want to make Maariv. You could please text me your Shaila. And also,
will do.
What? And also text me anyone who wants any other topics. You might get famous from the topic. You never know.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Still recording time. Don't